Today's daf is Shabbos daf Pei. Shabbos daf Pei, let's get into, and we are up to the two dots on the bottom of Anitez Mebeis, just one other Ha'ara. Yesterday's daf on Mebeis went through the halachas of Dechsustis and Klaf, and what is mezuzah and tefillin allowed to be written on. Rav had made a statement that Dechsustis and Klaf are similar to each other in regarding a certain halacha. The question is, which halacha? So the first day in the Gemara, the Havamina, was that we thought just like tefillin can be written on klaf, so too it could be written on duchsustis. And we said, mezuzah, no way. But la maskana, we changed that. And the maskana, we say, mezuzah could be written on both, and that is what we paskin. If you look in Shulchan Aruch, in Yeridea, in Reish Pei Ches, Sif Vav, Kasva, if you write a mezuzah, al haklaf o al hagvil, kshera, if you write it on klaf, which is the outer, as we said, or on gvil, which is the together, before you separate, kshera, it's kasher b'di'evet, lo amru duchsustis, ela le mitzvah. But we only say duchsustis le mitzvah le chatchila, as our Gemara said. And the Ramah adds in, v'klafim shalanu ksherim lakol, our klafim are okay. But either way, we paskin like that maskana regarding mezuzah. The other issue, though, and we'll get to tefillin in a minute. The other issue I wanted to bring up was what we ran through at the end of Shir yesterday, and that is the Gemara suggested that Sefer Torah and tefillin, without the problem of Ma'alin Bakodesh Velo Moridin, could have been written, could be used for mezuzah. The question is, how could you take a part of the Sefer Torah or tefillin and use it for mezuzah? So Rashi says, Sefer Torah Shebala, Ein mechatchin mimena yuria sheparshios shma v'hayem shemoa betocha lekoven mezuzah. You can't cut it. Why? Because of Malan Bakodesh. But what, are you going to cut it? We know, as Tosis is bothered, how do you do that? Don't you need kisidron? Don't you need, it has to be written one right after the other in order. Second the bottom Tosfos. Af agav de parshas v'hayim shemoa rachok mi parshas shma. Even though it's far from it, so what are you going to do? Osin to ka'amar hainu. What does it mean? What are you going to do? Shem parshas shma ksuva besofa amud. If Shema is written at the end of a column, Yechtov Acharei Havayim Shemoa Begilyon, there's a certain amount of Gilyon halachically that has to be left there after the last line is written. So you write the Vahaya in the Gilyon. O im Haya Parshas Vayim Shemoa Barosha Amud, or Vayim Shemoa is at the top of the Amud. Yichtov Lamala Begilyon Parshas Shema. You're right at the top. So you're not going to cut two different pieces because you're not allowed to put that together. You can't take two pieces and tie them up to be part of a mezuzah. That's also in the Shulchan Aruch in Siv Dalin. Kasva Bishnei Oros Af Al Pi Shetfaran Psula. It's possible. You can't take two klafim, write some of it, and then put it together. It's got to be one klaf. That is, so Tosfos says, you can't have one, so it must be that you have one piece of klaf, and then you added it on afterwards. But what do you see from there? Tosfos is suggesting, at least, that even if you have a Hayim Shemoa, you could write Shema afterwards. Just add it on top. So, is that allowed? So, as we said, at the end of the shiur, no, that's also not allowed. The Shulchan Aruch says in Sif Gimel, there in Yeridea, Reish Peches, Kasva Shalom Ala Seder, if you write a mezuzah out of order, Afilu Shachach Milichtov Os Achas Psula, even if you forgot to write one letter even, you can't just add it in, it's puzzle. Ve'ein la takana, there's no way to fix it. Ve'ein sarach lomar im hiktim parsha la parsha. And surely, you cannot change around the order of parshios. He says explicitly, you can't change the order of parshios, that's based on a mechilta in parshas bow, which is quoted by the Rush. If you look in the gra here, he quotes mechilta hevi harush, v'shelo kedivrei atosfos, Shabbos ayin tes amid beis. Right, against our Tosfos. Because our Tosfos says that you can write the Parshiyos of Mezuzah out of order. The only issue is the letters. It's interesting, though, in mentality, also the Shulchan Aruch seems to be against Tosfos. Because Tosfos holds, what's more chamor? Writing the letters out of order. The Shulchan Aruch's language is that you can't write the letters out of order, and surely you can't write the Parshiyos out of order. Not only does the Shulchan Aruch not paskin like Tosfos, but he has the opposite mentality, that if you choose which is the worst problem, the Shulchan Aruch is saying writing the Parshiyos out of order is the worst problem. And Tosfos holds, Lamaisa, that no, only writing the letters is a problem. And that's the Tazis Ha'ara here in Yeridea, Temali, the Ifcha Mistavra. I don't understand, it's that just in mentality, he doesn't argue on the Shulchan Aruch, but he just says, in mentality, it's sounds like the opposite. Do Yoser Yesh Psul Bekosev Shalo Keseder Biahi Parsha Gufa? Right, within a Parsha, that's a bigger of a problem. Mi Behiktim Parsha La Parsha. Shari Matsinu Ba'arachayim, because after all, we find in Arachayim, Kara, by reading Kriya Shema, Kara l'mafreya lo yatsa. What does that mean if you read the Kriya Shema out of order, you're not yotze? Bamed v'amurim b'seder ha-psukim. If you read the psukim out of order, but if you read the parshias out of order, you're not supposed to do that. But if you do it, if I read the second parsha before the first parsha, I'm not supposed to. I'm supposed to go like the Mishnah says in Brachos, first Kabbalah Zol Malchus Shemayim, then Kabbalah Zol Mitzvos, and then the parsha of Tzitzis. But if I didn't do that, b'diyevet, I'm yotze. So you see there that parshios out of order are less serious than letters out of order. See, just doesn't like the mentality of the Shulchan Aruch. Either way, though, how would you answer the Shulchan Aruch? You'd have to say, to answer up that stira from Kriya Shema, there's a difference between Kriya and Ksiva. By Ksiva, the Shulchan Aruch is saying that writing the Parshiyos are more stringent than more of a problem. Asha'en came by the Kriya, which is what the Taz was asking about there. So that is all related to Mezuzah. And just to summarize by Mezuzah, the Aruch HaShulchan says you got to be very, very careful by Mezuzah. Every sofer. Shalo lithov kesalo kesidron kamo betfilin. Klomar. Sheikh Tavena dafka al haseder haksuva batora. Vishalo kesede psula. Velochen yizahir. Shalo yishkach afilu os achas. Vimshach. Gotta forget it, gotta bury it. You can't race, you can't hang a letter on top. If you want, if you got a letter, you gotta erase everything that was written after the missing letter. And write the rest over. Then it can be kesidron. You have to erase everything that is left. And then he adds, as we just said, and therefore, a person, so for writing a mezuzah, has to be extremely careful not to go, not to leave anything out or out of order. So that's regarding mezuzah. We mentioned, so again, lamaskana, it could be on any of them, gvil, and tuchsustis, and klaf. What about tefillin? Because we reject the tefillin, right? We don't have lamaskana, what Rav says about tefillin. So now we have to look in the Shulchan Aruch and Arachayim. And Ilchas Tefillin says the Shulchan Aruch and Simon Lamed Beis. Simon Lamed Beis is the simon about Ksivas Tefillin. 52 Se'ifim. Nice long sif. Says the Shulchan Aruch, Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. This is in Sif Zion. Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. Tefillin al haklaf, velo al haduchsustis, velo al hagvil. Shulchan Aruch paskins against that earlier sheet of Rav. Just like the Gemara rejects it, the Shulchan Aruch rejected it. Tefillin has to be on klaf, which is the outer layer, not on the duchsustis, the inner layer, and not on gvil, which is both of them together. That's what the Shulchan Aruch paskins, not on gvil. Right, the Biralacha here says, gvil hu or shalo nechlak, velo husar mimenu rakaseyer. He just took off the hair. And on the inside, he didn't do anything. So, and you write it on the inside of the outer layer. That's what tefillin is written on. Vimshina puzzle. And if you're a mishana puzzle, the Shulchan Aruch says on any of them. Even if you write a little bit, the Bir Alacha, afilum kasav kotso shel yud. Shalom ala klav v'makam basar. One tiny little yud, the coat, the tip of the yud. Goch v'makam echal o havir mihaduch sustis. Puzzle, that is puzzle, even though there's only a little bit left. And then he goes through, what is each one? As we learned on yesterday's daf, ma'a klav ma'aduch sustis, or b'shas ibudo chokonok solashnayim. During the ibud process, you cut it to two. V'chelka chitzon, shuhulat sarasayar nikra klav, v'apnimi hadavak la basar nikra duch sustis. And he goes through exactly what is meant. Good, so that is the Shulchan Aruch Paskins. Again, as we rejected in the Gemara, tefillin have to be on klaf and not on duchsustis and not on gvil. Then he goes into ibud itself, the whole process. This is a major discussion. Does the process have to be done lishma? The Shulchan Aruch quotes, Sarech haklaf liyoz mu'ubad ba'afatzim obesid. As we said yesterday, the klaf has to be processed with gallnuts or lime. V'tzorech she'im mu'ubad lishmo. It has to be mu'ubad lishmo, l'shem mitzvah tefillin. And the Shulchan Aruch even talks about what if you had one thing in mind, you had Sefer Torah in mind, and now you want to use it for tefillin. And then he says, Tov lo hotzi b'sfasav, b'tchila se'ibud. Right, just like we're familiar when we make tefillin, l'shem mitzvah tefillin, when one makes tefillin, well, by tzitzis, we're familiar with it, l'shem mitzvah tzitzis, so too, by tefillin, tov lo hotzi b'sfasav, b'tchilas ibud, shu ma'abdo l'shem tefillin, o l'shem Sefer Torah. Because if you're ma'abed at l'shem mezuzah, it is puzzle, the Shulchan Aruch says, because its kedusha is more kal from tefillin. And the Mishnah Berurah here talks about, could you make a tnai when you are making it? If you can have leftover, could you use it for mezuzah? So that's what he talks about. What about a non-Jew doing ibud? So that's the machlokas we've shown him. Im ibdo enu Yehudi, the Shulchan Aruch says, laharambam pasul, afilo amar lo Yisrael la'abid l'shmo, even if the Jew gave it to him, ularash kasher, im Yisrael omid al gabo, the si oksas me ibudo. So there's machlokas, Rambam and Rush, if there's gadol omid al gabo by a guy, for ibud. So that is important discussions of what the status is by Sefer Torah, by Tefillin, by Mezuzah, what klafim one has to use. Okay, so that was related to yesterday, the end of the daf, and now we get to today's daf, last three words on Ayin Tes Amid Beis. Dio Kidei Lichtov. Enough dio. How much dio do you have to take out? So this was on the Mishnah, on Ayin Ches Amid Beis. How much dio could they lichto base osios? Enough to write two letters. Enough ink to write two letters. That's what we're going to learn later on. The shear for the malacha of kosev is two letters. And not only later on, we could even look back on the Mishnah daf ayin gimel am aleph, hakosev shtei osios. Two letters. Tosfos there. We'll get back to the Tosfos Be'ez Hashem today. But if you remember, Tosfos there on daf ayin gimel am aleph had noted that it's interesting why the Mishnah lists off shiurim for some of the malachos and not for the others. Even though almost every malacha, besides maybe one or two, has a shiur, but only certain ones have the shiur listed in the Mishnah. Tosfos did not answer that question. Tosfos just asked it. So hopefully we spoke about it then, but hopefully we'll speak about it again today. So, Tidok Kidei Lichtov, Tana, says the Gemara, Shtei Osios Bidyo, if I carry out enough ink to write two letters, what does that mean? Rashi, Dio Yavish, dry ink, or Shtei Osios Bekolmis, or two Osios Bekolmis in the pen, in the quill. Shtei Osios Bekalmarin, if I have it in the ink well that, you know, I dip the Kolmis into, so any of those doesn't matter. I mean, the Gemara is telling us it doesn't matter where the ink is. It could be in its utensil, it could be in its plane, whatever it is, one is chayef. When I think of Shtei Osios Bekalmarin, I can't not tell over the story. They say b'shem about Rav Moshe. There are a number of people have quoted this. I think our my friend I heard quote this many years ago. But the Rav Moshe once received a beautiful, beautiful, gorgeous set of Gemaras, a new Schulzinger Shas, a very fancy Shas that at the time was very unique. Not everybody had it, and he had a beautiful Shas, and he loved to use it. And one time he was in his study, and he was learning, and he was dipping. He didn't have the pens when at that time he dipped the ink, the quill into the ink, and he was writing notes. He had an inkwell there, as the Gemara talks about Kalmarin. And then he had to go get something, and when he went out of the room, the Talmud that had been in the room with him wanted to look and see this beautiful Gemara, this beautiful Schulzinger Shas, and he went close, and as you would have thought, he knocked over the inkwell, and it got all over Rav Moshe's new, fancy, beautiful Gemara. Rav Moshe, the kid was, the Talmud was mamish, couldn't move. He was frozen. He was frozen, he couldn't move, he was just shaking. Rav Moshe comes into the room, immediately realizes what happens, puts his hand over on the Talmud's back and says, "Doesn't the Gemara look beautiful in blue?" And he gives the Talmud a hug, "Don't worry about it." And that was Rav Moshe. Not even a little bit of ka'as, how he must have worked on himself and how he reached that level. But that's Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe who pushed ka'as out of his personality totally. So the Gemara here talks about two letters in the Kalmarin. So we remember that story of Rav Moshe. Good. By Rav, third line. Os achas bidyo, os achas bekolmis, os achas bekalmarin. What if you don't carry them out all in the same way? Some of them are plain, some of them are in the inkwell. Let's see, you have one letter's worth of ink plain and one letter's worth in a kolmis, in the pen, and one letter's worth in the kalmarin. So mahu, do they combine? Teku, we do not know. We'll have to wait for Eliyahu Hanavi. Rashi notes, so why aren't you chayev on the kolmis then? Fine, you're not chayev on the ink, possibly. What about on the kolmis? So Rashi says, no, because that's tafel. The Yamad Rashi says in the third line, tevik lemishum kolmis. What about on the inkwell or on the pen? Lo machayev lemishum shu tafel lepachos mikashir, as we're going to have later on. If you carry out less than a shir in a kli, you'll be pater on the kli too, because it is tafel. It's like ikker and tafel. We only focus on the ikker. Tosfos says that if you carried out two kolmasin with one letter's worth in each, that would be chayev. You could combine two kolmasin. The only shaila is one kolmis, one in the kolmis, and one in the kalmarin. One in the kalmarin, one in the one plane. That's the only shaila. Amar Rava. Hotzi shtei osios v'kasvan kishun mahalech. If I carry out enough ink to write two letters, and I wrote as I was walking. So are you chayev for hotza'a? Says the Gemara, yes. You did an akira from your own rishus, and as you wrote, that is called a hanacha, chayev. Ksifasan zuhi hanachasan. Writing it is its hanacha. It's on the surface that is being written on. I saw some achronim discuss, right, you gotta work this out with the Gemara that we had earlier, back in the first parak. Is it a hanacha if something falls on something that's floating in the water? So we say that's not a hanacha. But if it's something on something that's floating in the water? So that we said is a hanacha. So that's similar here to, right, your whole person is holding whatever item is being written on. So ksifasan zuhi hanachasan. So a couple of points about this line. First of all, are you chayef for ksiva? That's not discussed here. We're only focusing on the hotzah. So the Ritva says that, yeah, we're just focusing on the hotzah, but of course you're chayef for ksiva. The Gemara just didn't mention it. It says chayef af mishum hotzah. Number one. The Ran says maybe, the Sheet of the Ran, you know, maybe it's a type of case where you didn't write it in the way that you'd be chayef for ksiva, but only for otsa. Meaning, let's say you wrote two letters that are not read with each other. As we'll see later on, that you're going to be putter for that. Maybe that's what happened here. That's why you're not chayef for ksiva. Number one. Number two, what surface did you write on? It says here, you're chayef once you write. But did you carry out a piece of paper? Because then you're chayev on the paper. So what surface did you carry it out? So again, the Sheet of Laran says, maybe pirish b'niyar shematza b'rishus harabim. No, maybe you didn't carry anything out and you just found it in the street. Osha hotzi pachos b'kashir. Or you carried out less than the shear. A piece of air less than the shear, but you were able to write on it in that way, and that would be a hanacha for the ink. Others say maybe he wrote it on his body. Maybe he wrote it on his hand. That itself would be a hanacha too. That would be a chiddush because the person is moving. Is that like something falling into the water? But that's the Sheet of Laran's suggestion. The last point the Sheet of Laran makes is, why don't you need a makom dalet al dalet? We spoke about this back in the first parak also. Don't you need a makom of dalet al dalet in order to be considered a hanacha? V'yav agav debay hanacha agabi makom arba'a. Hacha shayni. No, here is different. Why? Da'ach shevei l'makom hanachasan. A person has the ability to give status to something that objectively should not have status by being machshev it halachically, by doing something to it, showing that it is special to me in my eyes, it's significant to my eyes, that itself could give it status. Hacha shayni da'ach shevei l'makom hanachasan dumya d'zarek v'nach b'fi akela b'fi akivshan. As we mentioned earlier, if you throw something to a dog to catch and the dog catches it, you could be chayef because you were machshev, right? We have this other places we just mentioned a couple of days ago. The tshuva of the Chacham Tzvi, when we mentioned back on Daf Ayin Dalin, right? How long was it over that? About a week ago. We mentioned this, the shita of the Chacham Tzvi in Simen Peivav in the tshuvas, where he discusses that he thinks, even though it's against Rashi on Daf Ayin Dalin, and it's against Nagos Hashri in the beginning of the eighth parak, he thinks that the Isra of Chatzi Shir should only apply to Isuri Achila. That we pask in Chatzi Shir is Asa Daraisa, should only apply to Isuri Achila. Okay, how he deals with those other Rishonim is difficult. But what's the Svara? Why should Chatzi Shir only apply to Isuri Achila? So, the Chacham Tzvi says at the end of Simen Peivav, actually it's more like in the middle of Simen Peivav, in the second Svara, he says, Inami, Yesh Lomar, Da'af B'chol Yisur and Pachos Mikashir Nami Aser Min HaTorah, Hainu Dafka Ba'osa Maisa Shemachshivo, La'oso Pachos Mechatz Yishir. Only if I do something to that Chatz Yishir, am I Chayav Daraisa for it. Because I'm machshevet, achshevet. So if I eat it, if I eat a half a gazayas, I was just machshevet that half a gazayas. It's significant to me, enough for me to eat it. But let's say, his context, by Bal Yerah Bayimatzeh, I have half a gazayas in my house. So I didn't do anything with it. Who says that's chashev to me? It's half a gazayas, it's half a shear. Maybe I think it's meaningless. So avo bechametz, pachos mikazayas, she'ena osa maisa, ela manicha bebeso, ve'ena mavaro, kivan she'ena osa, davar she'mare bo she'machshivo, lo amridan bechazi litztarufe. You don't say chazi litztarufe. So there are a number of examples throughout Shas about the concept of achshevei, where something that is objectively lacking, but because I did something to it, I was machshavit to give it the status. So you have it right here in the Ran, achshavei, a place that's less than dalad al dalad. You have the Chacham Tzvi and Siman Peivav, achshavei by the sugyas of Chatzi Shir. You also have just one other, you have Rashi and Maseches Beitza, and Daf Chav Zayin and Mabez, where the Gemara discusses burning Kadshim Tameyam on Yantif. So really, you're allowed to burn something on Yantif. You're allowed to burn, you're allowed to light fire on Yantif, you're allowed to burn something on Yantif. The Torah says you're not allowed to burn Kadshim Temeyim on Yantif. Why? Because that's a mitzvah sase daraisa. Burning, sreifas noser, sreifas of psulim, derachmana achshave lahavarasan. See, there it's the Torah, it's not just the person. But the Torah is machshav this, dechsiv ba'eshi sareif, hilkach malachi. The Torah gives it chashivus, and therefore it's an objective malacha that you're not allowed to do on Yantif. Three examples, there are others. These are three examples where we have the principle of achshavei. Okay, we continue. Says the Gemara, more statements of Rava. This whole first half of the Amud is all about Rava. The Amar Rava, hotzi os achas, if I take enough ink out to write one letter, and I write one letter, v'kasva, v'chazav hotzi os achas v'kasva, and then I take out enough ink to write another letter, and I take out, meaning I do it separately, patur, I'm patur in that case, why, and I do it together, my taima, be'idna da'afka lebasraisa, chaser leili shiura dekamaisa, at the moment that I did the second act, the first one is lacking. What does that mean? Rashi explains, as ink dries, it gets smaller. So even though at the moment that it's wet, it's enough to write two letters, but and that's the only amount that I wrote, and the only ink that I took out. By the time that it dries, it gets smaller. Rashi, kishem misyabsha nechzer hashir. So altogether, at this time, I have taken out less than two letters worth, because I added it all up right now, and it is not good enough. V'yama Rava. Rava says similarly, hotzi chatzi grogres achas vehinicha. The chazav hotzi chatzi grogres achas vehinicha. If I take out half a grogres, which is the shear of food for hotzah on Shabbos, and then I take out another half a grogres right afterwards, and I put it down, to both them down, what do I say? Pater. You view the view, first one, even if it's there, you view it as if it's not there, as if the dog ate it or that it got burned up or pater. And ask the Gemara, why? V'yamai hamancha. If this is all in one halam, and you did a half of the malacha, then another half of the malacha, why isn't it mitzdarif? Why do you say it's as if it's not there? So the Gemara says, hachi ka'amar. This is what the Gemara meant to say. Meaning, if it was there, you would be chayef. It's saying, only if it's not there, you'd be pater. V'im kadam v'higbiya rishona, kodam anacha shniya. If the first one got picked up before the second one was put down, nasis rishona kemisha niklata oshenisrafa opater. If this first one is not still in the state of hanacha when the second one got to the state of hanacha, so then one is putter. That is crucial for the malacha of hotzah. It has to both, the result, the shear, has to both be in a state of hanacha in order to be chayef. Says the Meiri, why is this true here and not true by, let's say, isure achila? If I eat a half a kezayis of chalev, and then 5 minutes later I need another half a kezayis of chalev, the first half is not here anymore, it's digesting in my stomach, right? So what's the difference? If you're saying by malachis, the shear has to be existent when you have fulfilled or violated the Avera, so what's the difference? So says the Meiri, as you might have guessed. You can't compare the cases. V'shema tomar ula inyin hotza mia shata potro, maishna mechatzi zayis chelev shachris, v'chatzi zayis bin arbayim. Doesn't mean literally, but it just means separate achilas. Af al pisha b'shas achilas shniya kvar chaser hashir harishona. Right, it's already digesting, it's already been bitten into. What's the difference? This is the Meiri. No. Bezu derech achila kachu. This is eating. This is the Torah asers eating. By eating, by definition, the beginning food of your eating disappears. Ve'ein hochim ba'achila l'sof achila shav k'shachal k'zayis b'vasachas. Even if you eat it exactly one after, at once. Says the Meiri, you go by Hana's grono. You go by the Hana that you got. The Hana is still there. The Hana didn't disappear. The food might have disappeared, but it's all looked at as one Hana's me'ayim, and therefore it is all viewed as one. So the Meiri asks from outside of Hilcha Shabbos. The Achronim, though, wonder, what about within Hilchas Shabbos? Right? The Gemara says this by Hotza'ah. You have to have the shear there altogether. And let's say others say it by Ksiva. The Gemara says later on, I have to write two letters that can be read together. Meaning if I write one letter, then it gets erased. And then another letter, I'm not going to be chayav for that. By Ksiva. But what about by other malachas? The Afikeyam in Chelek Beis, Simin Dalet, Os Ches, he quotes the suffix of the Prima Gadim, and he discusses it. The Prima Gadim has the suffix. Do you say it by other malachas? Uprima Gadim Psicho Echoshabes Chakar, Im Gam Bechol HaMalachos, Be'inon Sheyehe Achatzi Shir HaRishon Kayim Be'es HaShlama, or Ve'efshadu Dafka Hotza, Mishim Di Malacha Gerua. Maybe only by Hotza, because it's on such weak footing already, as we've discussed. So there, you need the whole shir together. And he says, L'may nafkamina? The Minchas Chinuch's question. The Minchas Chinuch in Mitzvah Tezvav deals with the Isser of taking the Basara Pesach out. It's an Isser Daraisa of Losotzi, not taking the Basara Pesach out. So what happens is that subject to the same rules that Hilchas Shabbos is subject to. And that is, if I take out half a gezayis of Basara Pesach, and then another half a gezayis, and the first one is eaten up before I bring the second one. The kodem hashlama zashir, nisra v'chazi shir arishon, imar v'belosa asay. And the Minchas Chinuch has a number of questions like this. Do you compare Shabbos to Hotza'ah regarding Pesach? Do you compare it to Hotza'ah regarding other areas of halacha? We have to be motzi something. So that's his suffix. So says Afigayam, well, it might depend on whether it applies to other malachas. Is it specifically to Hotza'ah because Hotza'ah malacha gerua on Shabbos? So then maybe it's a chiddush, and it should not apply to Karban Pesach. And a Karban Pesach, even if it's not there, you should be chayiv. Or do I say, no, there's something about Hotza'ah, maybe it's more expansive, maybe it's not an act of it's not an act of Isser, unless it's all there, then you might expand it. So that's his question. How do you look at it? Linnaeus Dinira, the Afikeyam says it depends on your reason. But if you say it's something more expanded and flexible, then you would say it might apply to others. That's the Afikeyam in Chelek base. Okay. One other ha'ara, and that is you might be mechalik, and I saw some achronim seem to say something like this, you might be mechalik between different malachos. In what way? Getting back to that tosas we mentioned earlier on Daf Ayin Gimel. Why are some shiurin mentioned in the Mishnah on Daf Ayin Gimel and some not? It could be that some shiurim are more definitional to the malacha than others. Even if a malacha requires a shear, it might not be that you're doing, it might not be that you didn't do the malacha until you got that shear. Like borer. We had borer. Chatzi shear by borer. Even if I'm borer less than a grogeris, I violated borer. I did the malacha of borer. I just didn't do enough to make me chayva an onesh. But I did the malacha of borer even by a chatzi shear. But by other malachos, if it's less than the shear, it's not just you did the malacha but you didn't do the shear. But it's what I think the Sfasem is called in Daf Ayin Gimel, chatzi malacha, not just the chatzi shear. So it's very clear by Hotza'ah. If I do an akira without a hanacha, that's not chatzi shear. That's not the malacha. So too, maybe by Hotza'ah, maybe the shear itself, grogeris. Maybe because Hotza'ah malacha gerua, but maybe you need that as part of the definition of Hotza'ah. So maybe the same idea could apply by kosev. By kosev, why does the Mishnah say kosev shtei osios? Because less than that, the malacha of kosev is not writing. It's the formation of words. So if you formulate the malacha like that, so then memela, less than two is nothing. It's like an akira without anacha. And maybe that's a chilik that one can make between which malachas would require the entire shear there at the end of the day and which would not. Okay? We continue. Says the Gemara, next statement of Rava. V'yama Rava. Hotzi chatzi grogeris v'hinicha. If he took out a half a grogeris and then he put it down. V'chazav ozi chatzi grogeris. And then he took out that other half a grogeris and he did not put it down, but v'havira derech aleha. He brought it within, very close. He put it right over. He passed it over the chatzi grogeris that he had previously taken out. Chayiv is chayiv in that case. So the Gemara says, v'amai v'halo nach, didn't have a hanacha. Don't you need a hanacha to be chayiv? Kegon she'havira toch shlosha. He brought it within three tefachim of the ground. And we know the principle in Hilcha Shabbos and Hilcha Sukkah called Lavud. Lavud, Halacha Moshe B'Sinai, anything within three tefachim is considered as if it's munach, as if it's resting. So it's not literally you have to put it over the item, but within the same area of the first half, then you would be chayev, because that is considered one hanacha. I be amar Rava, but didn't Rava say later on, toch shlosha l'rabbanon, tzarech hanacha agabi mashehu? Rava said that according to the Rabbanon, who in the next parak argued, Tuprakim, who argued with Rabbi Akiva, the Rabbanon holds, kluta lav kemishon chadami. If I throw something from my house to the other house across the street, and it goes through the street, is that as if I threw from Rishus HaYachad to Rishus HaRabim? And then Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYachad, Rabbi Akiva says yes. If it's thrown through the street, it's as if it rested in the street. Kluta kemishon chadamye. And the Rabbanan argue. And Rava says there, according to the Rabbanan, even within three, it's not going to be kluta kemishon cha. So, why here do we say automatically it's as if it's resting? So the Gemara says, wait a minute, lo kasha, kan bezore, kan b'mavir. That whole discussion of Rabbi Kiva and the Rabbanan is by throwing. So by throwing, so that's not called a resting, even if it's within three tefachim of the ground. But by passing, if I didn't throw it, it's still in my hand, so then that could be called a hanacha. It's hanacha in my hand, within three tefachim of the ground, so that lavud would be chayiv. Good. Tanur Rabbanan, hotzi more laws of otzah. Hotzi chatzi grogris. V'chazar, v'hotzi chatzi grogris. If I take out a half a grogris, then I take out another half a grogris, behelam echad chayiv. Fine, that's the regular din. I took out half a grogris now and half a grogris later, and it's in one helam, one forgetting I'm chayiv, they're mitztarif. B'shtei alim as patur. If I remember in the middle that it's Shabbos, or that this malach is asur, then patur, right, because I only did half and half, I'm not going to be chayiv the karban. Rabbi Yossi omer, behelam echad l'rishus echad chayiv. Another limit. Not only do you need one helam to be mitztarif them, but even to the same rishus. There's got to be to the same rishus. L'shtei rishuyas pater. Two rishuyas are pater. Meaning, if I have a house, and on two opposite sides of the house are two different streets, I carry half a shear to one street and half a shear to the other street, and I have rishus ayachin in the middle, so then I am pater. Even though altogether I carried from rishus ayachin to rishus harabim, a full shear, no, the shiurim have to be to the same rishus harabim. Amar Rabba, and what's enough to differentiate? You got to have a rishus hayachid in between them to be mechalik between them, to say it's two different rishuyos. Aval karmelus lo. According to Rabba, if you have a karmelus, which is a rishus hayachid de oraisa, but a rishus harabim de rabbanon, that is not good enough. A karmelus is not good enough of a hefsek. Right? Rashi says in ha karmelus mafsikan karpeif. He goes through it. A karmelis is not good enough. Abaya amra filu karmelis, no. Even a karmelis is considered a hefsik. Avo pislolo. But stam a piece of wood that's on the street that goes across the whole street, that doesn't break it up. That's not enough of a hefsik. The rabba amra filu pislolo. Rabba says, no, you go by lamaisa. Lamaisa, is it split? So that is what is stated here. So you see the picture in Rashi that you have all of these items between the Rishus HaRabims. Is this enough to be mafsik between? That's the three-way machlokas. What's the svara behind this machlokas? So it could be a topic that we've talked about many times, and that is Durabanan's affecting Da'araisas. Once the Rabbanan create a certain shear Durabanan, do we say that has Da'araisa status? For example, one of the Achronim I saw say, they compared to, let's say somebody eats Truma Tameami Durabanan. Are they chayiv misa b'dei shamayim? Somebody's only chayiv misa b'dei shamayim if they eat shruma tahora. What if they eat shruma tahora midaraisa, but tamei midaraisa, but tamei midrabanan? So do I say that's lamaisa, it's not roi for me, and therefore I'm not going to be chayiv misa b'dei shamayim? Or do I say no? On a daraisa level, it's tahor. So again, this comes up all the time, right? One of the more well-known contexts is the sugya in Mesechah Sukkah, Machlokas Tosfos in the Ran. If somebody sits in a sukkah and has their table outside the sukkah, Bishamai says such a table is pasul, such a sukkah is pasul, and Beis Hillel says that such a sukkah is kosher. And the Gemara, the Mishnah in Sukkah Daf Chaf Ches says, the language of Bishamai to Beis Hillel is, if you use such a sukkah, lo kiyamta mitzvah sukkah miyamecha. You have never been mekai in the mitzvah of sukkah in your life. And Tosfos on Daf Gimel Amud Aleph in Sukkah takes this literally. Right? Even midaraisa. Because once the Rabbanon said that it's his pasul sukkah, you can't sit in it. Maybe they said it's not even sitting in a sukkah. While the Ran there says, nah, Don't take it so literally. It means they didn't do mitzvah in a mufchar. But of course, there's different scorecards in Shamayim. There's a Daraisa scorecard, a Darabanan scorecard, but that's the machlokas, Tosas of the Ran. So the same idea would be here. What did the Rabbanan do when they create this Isser? Again, there are many other examples of that, but we'll wait with it now, and we'll see at the end if there's more time. But that's what some suggest is the machlokas here as well. V'yaza Rabban l'taymei, and Rabba goes according to his own reasoning to say even pisla is a, even a piece of wood is a distinction, is a chiluk to Amar Rava, Rishus Shabbos, Kirishus Gittin Damye. Rava says the Rishus of Shabbos is like the Rishus of Gittin. What does that mean? If somebody throws his wife a get into her chatzer, and he gave her Rishus to have to be koni in that chatzer, but the get falls on a piece of wood instead of in the chatzer, she's not divorced. Because it's considered a separate entity. So just like it's considered a separate entity for Gittin, it's considered a separate entity for Shabbos. Wonderful. We continue. Chol, if somebody has eyeshadow, kedei lichol ayin achas, enough to put onto one eye, to color one eye. So the Gemara says, ayin achas, holokachli, who goes out with one eye? Eyeshadow on one eye, nobody, people will be embarrassed with that, to go out with eyeshadow on one eye, right? That would be something that we would say in Hilchis Chatzitza would be a kpeda, because that would be something that nobody would want, one eye. Amravuna, shekein snuos kochlos ayin achas. No, we're talking about those women that only leave one eye open. One eye open, so they would color one eye. Says the Gemara Meisve, meaning it's not a common practice. Meisve, shemin alazar omer, kol. But the Brisa says, if it's yagna kol im l'refua, if it's for medicinal purposes, kdei l'chol ayin achas. It's to do one eye. That's the reason. Im l'kashet, and if it's to beautify oneself, b'vezeinayim. So you see, it's two eyes. It's only l'refua for one eye. So tirgam ahilal, breder of Shmuel, banachmeni, kitanya hahi, be'ir nayos. That, what are we talking about there? By people who live in the cities. What does that mean? Or at least beir yonos, at least not in the major places. Look at Rashi. Binos kfarim, einan sricha snios kolkach. People who live in the towns, that they don't have to act as sanua. Doesn't mean that the chas v'shalom they're violating, but it just doesn't mean they don't cover themselves as much. There's less people around. She'ein schofa kalas ros machisham, because the levity factor does not exist there. Does not exist there. It's a good question whether this means a big city, a little city, right? On the side here, the Gilyon talks about, well, krach katan, krach gadol. Either way, it's a separate area that they wouldn't have to keep both eyes closed, you wouldn't have to keep both eyes covered, so you leave them both open. And that's what we're talking about. In a place where women put on eye makeup on both eyes, so that's what is being discussed. That's what's being discussed here. Interesting, the Schok v'Kavos Rosh might depend on place. That's what Rashi is explaining the Gemara. Interesting, it also depends on a person. It's very interesting that the only harchaka in Hilchas Nida that is subjective is Schok v'Kavos Rosh. Meaning, usually by harchakas, we have objective halachas. Meaning, hoshata, and negia, and the beds, and the hekerim in the dining room, and in the bedroom, and all the different, behaviors that are required by a husband and wife when the woman is anita. Those are objective. There's nothing to talk about. The only one that's subjective is the first sif. The first sif. And that's Chok V'Kalos Rosh, what Rashi points out here. In Simen Kuf Tzadikei and Yerodeya, Chayev Adam Lifrosh Mi'ishcho B'Yemei Tumah, Sa'ashet Tisper V'Titpol, and a person has to separate from his wife. V'lo Yitzchok V'lo Yekal Rosh Ima Afilu B'Dvarim. He shouldn't play or have Kalos Rosh with her. Shemeyar Gola Avera. So what does that mean? So if you look in the Sifre Halacha Nida, then it's not objective here. I mean, some will give you objectivity, but it might depend on who one is and, you know, how one normally behaves. Meaning if somebody always plays a board games, likes to play board games with their wife, likes to play all these different Scrabble, whatever it is, and that's not Kalos Rosh, that's Mutter, and one should spend time with their wives all the time of the month. But if somebody is in a certain state where he doesn't, never plays board games with their wife, or never does a certain behavior, and now he's going to dafka do it now, and it will reflect something that is more, related to Schok V'Kalos Rosh, so then that could be a problem. Again, it's more, difficult to pin down. Right, if somebody has once, one of the, my Rebbe once said, meaning saying, niceties, husband and wife to each other, whether it's I love you or whatever it is that mutter b'shas that she's a nida? So it depends. It depends if that's ever said out of the context where there's a physical relationship. So in many circles, that's said. You could say it in a letter, say it without touching each other. People say that before they get married. So they say that before they get married. Obviously, there's no negia going on there, and it's still said in that context. Mashenkin, if somebody never says those kinds of things except in a physical context, so then it would be inappropriate b'shas that she's a nida. But again, schof lekalas rosh. Again, we're not paskening, but just one should figure out the halacha. Schof lekalas rosh is something that is subjective, somewhat, and that's what Rashi here says between these different areas and places. Good. Shava, the next on the list, is in parentheses because it's really out of order in our Gemara, but let's just do it straight. Shava k'deilitin apinek of katan, enough wax to put on the whole. Tana k'deilitin apinek of katan shel yayin. Good. Devek k'deilitin brosh hashavshet, enough glue to put on the top of a board. What type of board? Tana k'deilitin brosh hashavshet shebrosh kana shel sayadin. They used to put glue on top of a board in order to catch birds, so the bird would go on and it'd get stuck there, so that's the amount that is required. Zebes v'gafris, k'dei lasos v'chulu. Zebes v'gafris, in order to make a, again, the Mishnah said, the language, zebes v'gafris, k'dei lasos nekev, in order to make the hole, tonic, k'dei lasos nekev katan, in order to fill in a small hole. Charsis, the crushed brick, k'dei lasos pikur, v'chulu. So, and then that was the crushed brick to make a pikur, and then Rabbi Yehuda said, enough to make a tripod. So, Lameimra, this year, the Rabbi Yehuda nafish, Rabbi Yehuda has bigger shiurim in Hotzah, Vakaimlan, this year, the Rabbanan nafish. But we have elsewhere that the Rabbanan have larger shiurim, and we assume it is a shita that goes throughout the Malacha of Hotzah. Ditznan, because the Mishnah says earlier, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, k'dei litol heimenu midas min alakatan. Remember, Rabbi Yehuda said, a reed is used to measure a shoe size of a child, and that is a smaller shear. Then the Rabbanan shear there was said to use it as a handle for a basket. So, Ema, k'dei lasud pitput kiriktana. So here too, it doesn't mean to make the whole tripod. It means to fix the holes in the tripod. If part of the tripod that holds the pot is broken, to fix it with a little bit of plaster. So it is a smaller shear. Good. Subin k'dei litin apikur shel tsarfe zahav. Okay, we go weiter. Says the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan hamotzi se'ar, if somebody carries out hair. K'dei lagava bo'as atit. Enough hair to mix in with tit, with cement, with clay, that's helped it stay tightly together. Tit k'dei lasos pikur shel sefrizav, enough cement in order to put around the rim of the hole that the bellows went through, as we've had already. Sid k'dei lasod, tana, how much sid, lime, they used to smear it on their bodies. Tana k'dei lasod esmaktana shebebanos, enough to smear one little finger of a little girl. Amar Rav Yehuda Marav, Benos Yisrael, Shehigil Perkan Velo Higil Lashanim. Young girls who achieved physical maturity at a very young age. Higil Perkan, Rashi says, they started having Cyrus, B'makom Ha'erva, even though they were too very young. So it was embarrassing for them. They wanted to get rid of it. So they used to smear on different materials onto their body, ba'oso makum, in order to remove the hair. So, benos aniyim toflo sasan basid, they used to use lime. Benos ashirim toflo sasan besoles, they used to use a flour that removed it. And benos malachim toflo sasan b'shemen amar. Then the benos malachim used the fancy shemen amar, shene amar. And where do you see it's fancy? Because it was in Esther. Shisha chadashim b'shemen amar, that's what they used. My shemen amar, what exactly is it? Rav Huna bar Chiya amar sitachas. It is a type of oil with spices. Rav Yirmiyah bar Abba Amar Shemen Zayish Lo Hevi Yishlish. It's oil from olives that were not totally ripe. Tanya Rav Yehuda Omer An Pikanon Shemen Zayish Lo Hevi Yishlish. V'lama Sachan Oso. And why did they use it? Shemeshir Es HaSeyar U'ma'adin HaBasar. Because it removes unwanted hair and it makes the flesh shine. Okay, Shtei Cyrus, that is what we are talking about, to remove the area. If you remember, we mentioned in the past beautiful thought of Rabbi Chanan. Rabbi Chanan says on the first page of Masechus Psachim that sometimes in halacha we have what's called a siman, and sometimes we have a siba. You have a certain existence, a certain reality. And the question is, does that reality reflect, or does that reality cause? We've discussed this when we spoke about the signs for a kosher fish, fins and scales. Today, they're trying to work out a fish that doesn't have fins and scales. But it's a kosher fish. They're taking a kosher fish, and from the from the cloning elements, how they could take it from a kosher fish. Can you, would that be kosher? Would a fish be kosher if it came from a kosher fish, even if it doesn't have fins and scales? And the achronim that discuss it, it's based on a Ritvan Mesechas Nida. But the discussion is, do we say fins and scales are a siman that this is a kosher fish? It's just a reflection. And if I know it's a kosher fish, I don't even need these simanim. Or do I say, it causes, I need this reality in order to cause it to be a kosher fish? So that is a question that is asked in many different contexts. So one of them is right here, Shtei Cyrus. Physical maturity, the hair on a boy or a girl at age 12 or 13, is that the cause of godless, or is that a reflection of godless? Meaning if I know the child, I've aided them that their child was a certain age, so do I need the hairs, even if without hairs? So is that a siman or a siba? Rabbi Chana discusses this in the context of three stars at night, Tzeisa Kochavim. Do I say Tzeisa Kochavim is three stars is a reflection of night, or do they cause? V'yishlachkar, b'had, demitzei z'kochavim havei layla, ima kochavim atzman hein halayla, o she'en ha'kochavim ela siman v'raya shehu layla. What's the difference? What's the difference? It says Rabbi Chanan. I'll give you a difference. Could you have, let's say there were three stars, could you have two people testify about each star, and then altogether there'll be three stars, or do you need two edim on all three stars? And he says, that could be a nafkamina, because by Shtei Cyrus, our context, if you have two edim testifying about each hair, that's not good enough. Why? Because that's called what he says, chatzi davar, because the Cyrus create the gavus. It's not just a simen. While, in contrast to that, if you have cheskas gimel shanim, when you need 3 years, third parak of Maseches Bava Basra, cheskas gimel shanim to create a squatter's rights, and you have two edim on each of the years, so that is okay, because that's a siman. That is not a siba. So he says, that's Rabbi Chanan's question about Tzeisak Ochavim. He assumes that Shtei Cyrus, our context, is siba, not siman. And then he just ends off by bringing a raya from Maisa Bereishis. Because stars were created on day 4, and you had day and night before that. Vayera V'Yivoker was on day 1, 2, and 3, even before stars. So that's why he assumes it must be that it is a reflection and not a cause. Good, we continue. Says the Gemara a little story. Rabibi Habile Barta, Rabibi had a daughter, Tafla Aver Aver, and he smeared her with this substance, limb by limb. Why did he do it so carefully? Because he knew that it makes the skin shine, but if you do a lot of it, it gets your body temperature to go much higher than it should be if you do a lot of it. So shaka badal meozuz. But he made her so beautiful that there were many people who wanted to marry her, and he was able to get a big income when it came to the marriage. Have hahu nachri b'shivavuse. There was a non-Jew in his neighborhood. Havile barta, who also had a daughter, tafla b'chadzimna, and he smeared her the entire body at once. V'mesa, and she died. Because it was too dangerous. Rabbeinu Hananel says here, you look on the first wide line of Rabbeinu Hananel, Umisha Tofel as Abbas, as Kol Besar Pamachas, Kol Hevel Shoah Nichnas Lefnim, Vehimis Chamemes Vamesa, Kederach Shehisek as Agoy. So it was dangerous. So Amar, and the non-Jew said, Kata Rabibi Labarte, he blamed Rabibi. He just didn't do his research, not Rabibi's fault. Amar of Nachman, Rabibi Dishasi Shikra, Bayan Bante Tifla. Rabbi Nachman adds on and says, there are Bibi in their house, they drank a lot of beer. So that caused a lot of hair growth and dark hair growth, and that's why they needed to do this. Anan, Delosha, Sin Shekhra, Lo Ba'ayin, Bantan, Tifla. But we don't drink so much beer, so that's why we don't even need to do this. But could be that this line in the Gemara is where the legend comes from about certain types of women drinking something causing hair growth, right? There is a legend that if a woman drinks from the Havdalah wine, a woman shouldn't drink from the Havdalah wine. So why? Because if she's going to get hair on place on her body when she shouldn't have hair, so that is not halacha. That is nowhere in halacha that she, Pashtas shouldn't drink that dollar wine. But there is one suggestion. Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank has an etshuva in Har Tzvi in Chelek Aleph Simi Kufnun Dalid. Maybe because there's a machlokas rishonim whether women are obligated in Havdalah or not. Women are obligated in all the mitzvahs of Shabbos, but Havdalah is after Shabbos, so that's a machlokas, whether that's included. So, according to the shitas, that they say that she's not included, when she says Bari Priya Gafen, and then she says Amen to the other brachas, before she drinks the wine, that could be a hefsik. right, between the Barik Re'agafen, if she's not Chayav in Havdalah, she doesn't need Barik Re'esh or Besamim. So it's a Hefsek, that's why she doesn't drink the wine. That's his suggestion for halachic reasons. But Pashtus is not halachic reasons, rather the others say somehow connected to Chava. It always goes back to Chava. Every time there's something that women don't do, we always blame Chava, al pi Kabbalah. Right, he quoted the Tosefa Shabbos, one of the early, the 1930s, Akron and Hilcha Shabbos, he quotes the Shlach HaKadosh, De'etz Adas Haya Gefen, Val Yedei Achet, Nitna Ladam Nidus Lahavdila Min Ha'adam. It's always somehow connected to Chava. But either way, this is the discussion. But one should be very careful and remember, Halacha L'maisa, that let's say a woman is, nobody can make Havdalah for her. So she has to make Havdalah, and she only has wine. So we pass because she makes Havdalah. She has to be machmir, like the shittas that say that she's obligated. And the Aruch HaShulchan screams and says, what should she do with the wine? Bura'isi, I saw people who ask, how can they make Abdallah? They can't drink the wine. He said, if it's a mahani al zeh, datu dina hu? Is it a din that she doesn't drink the wine? Minhag ba'amu, it's a minhag. Okay, women, there's something there. Says Aruch HaShulchan, I'm not knocking on that minhag. But when it's a minhag that comes in the face of a halacha, she has to drink the wine. So one always has to remember what's a din and what's a halacha. There is this minhag based on something about women not drinking the Abdallah wine, but if it's a case where a woman has to drink the Abdallah wine, then that is what she does. Good. But maybe it somehow came out of this Gemara as it extended. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, they lost their kilkol. Last three skinny lines. My kilkol, my difi. Rabbi Yehuda says how much seed in order to smear the kilkol. And the other shita says, the third shita, Rabbi Nechemia says, kedei to smear on difi. So what does that mean? So let's see. We already translated it, but the Gemara is going to say it. Amarav tzidu basida. First we think kilkol is the temple, and basid is right under the temple. Again, to remove the hair. Lameimer the shira Rabbi Yehuda nafish. Again, is that to tell Rabbi Yehuda has a bigger shiur? Hakayim al shiur the Rabbanan nafish. We said earlier, Rabbi Yehuda always has these smaller shiurim. So zuta mi the Rabbanan, but nafish mi the Rabbi Nechemia. He is smaller than the Rabbanan, but he has a bigger shiur than Rabbi Nechemia. That's fine. Meisvei, Amar Rabbi, Niradiv Rabbi Yehuda b'machabut. I like Rabbi Yehuda's opinion that the shiur is on the temples by very loose dissolved lime. V'div Rabbi Nechemia b'beitz asasid. And I like Rabbi Nechemia by lumpy lime. But if you say this, they both, it's about the temple and under the temple, then both of yos use the thin, the dissolved lime. So how would he say, I like Rabbi Nechemia by the lumpy? You don't use the lumpy kind by under the temple. El Amr Yitzchak, Amri Debe Rabbi Yana is a different shot. Antifa. Antifa, Rashi explains, is a barrel with two different faucets on it. And when you want to close up one of the faucets, you close it up with this line. That's what Rabbi Nechemia's shita is. Maskav l'Rav Kahana v'chiyadim osem ha'osav an paros. Do people throw out their money? Meaning the wine is gonna cause the lime, it's gonna soak through right the lime, the wine's gonna flow out. What are people throwing out their money for? You wouldn't think this can't be the shear. That can be the shear for this. El Amrav Kahana, shnasos, a third shot. Shnasos, which are the markings on a cup, like a measuring cup. So they used to mark the cup with lime. Kidetznan. As the Mishnah says in Menachos, shnasos hayubahin, in the cups, in the vessels that they used for the carbonus mincha, they had markings. Adkan lapar, adkan la'ayl, adkan lakeves. So they knew exactly how much nesachim would be used for each animal. The Ibaya Seimo, the fourth pshat, my andifa apusa. Andifa means the forehead. Apusa. V'chiha te'ahu bar Galil, like the one from Galil, te'ikla la'bavel, he came to Bavel, to Amrule, kum drosh lana v'maisa merkava. They said, please, teach us about maisa merkava. They shouldn't have done that. But he should have known better also. Amar lehu edrosh lechok, and the darshan of Nechemia lechavrei. Okay, I'll darshan for you like Rav Nechemia darshaned to his friends, and he was about to start a shiur about Maaseh Merkava, which we know from the Maseches Chagiga should not be done. V'nafka ar isa min kosel, a hornet came out of the wall, umachti ba'andifi, stung him on the forehead, vamis, and he died. V'amrulay, and they said, min delay delay. It was from him, meaning it was his own fault. Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't want the Maaseh Merkava being expounded upon in public. So you see here that it means forehead. The Maariv Chaya says, how do you see from here? It's the same word. How do you know Andifi here means forehead? See, he says it must be that there were other Sifrei Agada that were extinct at that time, in the times of the Amoraim, there was Sifrei Agada, and in that Sefer Agada, it has the same story and it says forehead. apusia. And that's how. So the raya isn't from this story specifically, but if it's from the story that was known from the other svarim, and the other svarim had farhead written down. That's a very interesting Maritz Chayis that says the raya is really from the Sifrei Agada and not from the story here quoted in Shas. Good. Mishnah. Adama kechosim hamartzufin. How much dirt and earth, red earth, enough to put on a stamp of a big sack that they used to take things with. A big sack made out of wood, even Rashi says. Divrei Rabbi Akiva. V'chacham morim kechosim ha'igros. Like the stamp on smaller bag, which letters were in. Because you can't, you don't want the letters to fall out. You don't want people reading other people's letters. Like one of the halachas of Chaim Rabbeinu Gershom is you can't read other people's letters. Rav Shachter likes to point out that Rabbeinu Gershom didn't come up with a big chiddush. Oh, before Rabbeinu Gershom, you could read other people's mail. And now you can't? No. It was also gezel beforehand, Gnevas Das. But it's just afterwards he put a chirim on you that a person should be cursed if they read other people's letters. Right? Even many of the halachas of Chaim Rabbeinu Gershom were not a good idea even beforehand. He just was emphatic about it. Zevel, the chol hadak, how much fertilizer and thin sand, kedei lazavak, helach shel kruv, enough to fertilize one cabbage. Divrei Rabbi Akiva, v'chacham marmik de lazava kreisha, enough to fertilize a leek. Cho hagas, thick sand, k'dei litan amali kafsid, enough to mix in with cement. Kane a reed, k'dei lasos komis, in order to make a pen. V'maya ave o merusas, k'dei lavasha bo beitza kalash mebeitzim, if it was already broken or cracked, so you can't use it as a pen, enough to burn under a pot in order to cook an egg, an easy egg, trufon asuna be'ilpas, that's already in the pot. So, we explain. Amale kafsid, katana, k'dei litin al pi kafshel sayadin. They added sand in order to help plaster become thicker. So enough sand to put into the plaster. Mantana dechom malile lesid. Who says that sand is good for plaster? Amar v'chiz Rabbi Yehudi. It's Rabbi Yehudi Shid, the Tanya, who says in the Brisa, lo yasid adam es beis abesid, after churban bias. Zecha lechurban, one should not put regular sid in there on their wall. Elam came ear boteven ochol, unless they put sand in it, which makes it sound like, oh, so that makes it worse. That's why it's mutter. And Abiyuda says, no, teven mutter chola, so you can't use chol. Mereshu traxid. Chol makes it better. That's why it's usher, and that's the shear in our Mishnah, but that's why you cannot use it after churban bias. So that's how you know our Mishnah must be Abiyuda Shita. Rava Amar, no, afilu teimer Rabbanan. Rava says, no, maybe even the Rabbanan who say that you're not allowed to use it. You're allowed to use it after Chorban. Why? Kilkulo zeo tikuno. You're right. You use the sand and it makes it stronger, but it looks worse. It looks darker. So that's why the Rabbanan say you're allowed to use it. Even though it makes it stronger, it looks darker, and that's why it's mutter after Chorban Habayis. Good. The Cheshek Shlomo here, and verbatim, he doesn't quote him, he probably didn't have it, the Tosfos Arash says the same as that question and answer. The Cheshek Shlomo right here in the back, where Shlomi Vilna says, so according to this pshat, this mission is after Chorban Habayis. If it's after Churban Bayis, then who cares about the Shi'urim? So all Chatzi Shi'ur doesn't mean a Torah. You're not bringing Karbanos anymore. So the whole thing is Zechel Churban. So it's after the Churban. So what's the difference? So he said it must be regarding like we had in the first parak to record so that Meheri Bana Beis Hamikdash, I'll bring a Chata Shmeina. And that's exactly what the Tosfos Rashi says as well. I saw Rav Zilberstein in the Chashuke Chem and his other pshat. It says no, maybe it's a Nafka Mina to if somebody has to violate a Malacha, it's always good to violate Pachos Pachos Mikashir. So I have to know what the shear is to know what Pachos Mikashir is. So that could be a Nafka Mina, but it's exactly the same issue in the Cheshek Shlomo and in the Tosfos Arash. Good. Konik, the last is Kolmis, enough on a reed to make a pen. Tana, Kolmis, Hamagil, Kishri, Esbaosav, a reed that gets to the knuckles. By Ravashi, Kesher Elyon, Kesher Tachton, Teku. Which knuckles? Unclear. Vimhaya Aven, if it's thick, Tana. Terufa b'shem even asunav ilpas, mix with oil under the pot and put it under the pot. Amalei marbrei deravina lebrei misham lecha beitzakal lemahi. What's an easy egg to cook? What's the Mishnah referring to? Amalei biasa detzilzala, a small bird, an egg of a small bird. My time mishun dezutra. Why? Because it's small. Aimed at spirta. A hummingbird's egg is even smaller. Ishtik, he didn't have an answer. Amalei mida lechashan lecha b'ha. Did you hear anything about this? Amalei haki amar avsheishes beitzas tarnagolas. The egg of a chicken. I'm at Karele Beitzakala. Why is that called a Beitzakala? Shira Chachamim. Ein Lecha Beitzakala Levashel. Yosem, Beitzatarnagolas. No egg cooks quicker. It might not be the smallest one, but that's the one that cooks quickest. Umayshna Kal Shira Shabbos Kegrogus Vacha Kebeitza. Why all of a sudden here the Shira is a Beitza? and all other food malachas, it's a grogeris. So the Gemara says, no, here's also a grogeris. Amalei, hachi amar of Nachman, ki grogeris mi beis akala. The egg is a chicken egg, but the sheer of how much you have to cook of it is a grogeris. So it really is the same like all other malachas. Okay, we'll stop here as we continue, and we get towards the end of Perek HaMotzi Yayin.